Hey, welcome to Live Sent Podcast, a podcast of Gateway Church in Columbia Falls, Montana. Our podcast is simply just thoughts on life, ministry, mission, and theology.
I'm pleased to be joined by Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good. And this is where we talk about life, ministry, and I can't remember the other thing.
But
between life and ministry, you pretty much cover everything.
Anyway, yeah. No, we had a good break, you know. But it's good to be back, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah, no matter what the circumstances are gonna be, it's good to be back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, as we consider. What are we talking about today? This is gonna be good.
Yeah, I mentioned the circumstances. We're just gonna be talking about the whole election process that's gonna unfold. Maybe today, maybe not.
Round one plus 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah.
So today we may know who the president's gonna be, but we may not. We may not know who the president's going to be.
Right.
And that, in the end, with an eternal perspective, is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to, and even really setting up the scene for us is, we're not talking about this topic because we long for a Christian nation either, right? I mean, the reason we as Christians have a responsibility within the political realm is because what a biblical worldview is, right? And so there's a lot, I think, of believers that are just trying to disassociate themselves with anything that's going on in our political culture because of fear of disenfranchising people with the gospel. And I think we got to be very clear that we have a right to speak truth and have and clearly articulate what that is in light of those things. So, example, you know this, we talk about a biblical worldview, meaning if the Bible is our authority and you have like a will, right? And the hub of the will is the Bible, it's the authority, and off of that are spokes that create the rim, but you need the hub. The hub is what makes it spin, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, you have the hub, which is the biblical authority, the biblical worldview, and then you have the rim and the spokes going in the rim. Well, that biblical worldview that we have affects every area of our life, right? The hub being the biblical worldview, the spokes can be politics or sex and marriage or other social things or money or whatever. The Bible has the authority and sufficiency to speak to everything. And so the podcast, even today, isn't really to say, hey, you know, do this or do that. Really, it's, hey, what do we do in light of our biblical worldview, trusting and following Christ, and having a voice on the topic today? Because we don't want to sit back and just say, oh, well, whatever, whatever. Because there are a lot of people that are thinking about these topics today, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. The time we find ourselves in is so odd because people are so polarized by all these different viewpoints. And even within Christian circles, I don't know if the church has maybe ever been so polarized in terms of politics, at least not in America. Wouldn't you say so?
I would say
maybe not, but it certainly feels like it.
I would say it's very close to, it seems from what I'm seeing that we're more polarized, more likely to not dialogue about issues in our country than in the last hundred years.
Maybe the Civil War might have.
Civil War would have been up there, and then right. You know, if you look at the Revolution and what I say is the colonies and the government and the views there, because you know with the Revolution it wasn't like 100% of the people were just like yeah, I think you read that 3% of the people actually. There were more people for it, but only 3% actually fought. So I think it was probably polarizing then, obviously around the Civil War area, and then now today. And what we wanted to start off by saying, like, Christ is Lord, and God is in control of this situation. But, and I don't say but like he's not, I think a lot of people use that phrase, God is sovereign, as a way to not have to address certain issues. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, God is sovereign, so I can't be invested. Concern makes it sound like you're worried. I'm not worried, but invested in what's going on in this process today, really. Does that make sense? You can be invested in this process today and be praying about this process today, and guess what? You can completely trust in the sovereignty of God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that it's just like almost anything. 'Cause very few people will take that to its logical end.
Right.
You know, if somebody gets a cut on their finger, no one says, oh, the Lord is sovereign, and not put a Band-Aid on it.
Exactly.
No, yeah. You put a Band-Aid on it,
yeah,
knowing that in the sovereignty of God, he's going to heal it with the Band-Aid on your finger.
Yeah.
And knowing that if you don't put a Band-Aid on your finger, under the sovereignty of God and the laws that he has set up in our, you know, biology, yeah, it's probably just going to keep bleeding until you do something about it.
Exactly, yeah. The sovereignty of God doesn't negate personal responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't do that with sharing the gospel. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what I'm saying,
right,
is,
yeah, God is sovereign.
There are some people that do, but we'd say that's heretical. Like, we wouldn't do that, right? They know God is sovereign, but we have a personal responsibility to obey the command to make disciples and share the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. So again, it's, we can completely trust in the sovereignty of God and be involved in the process of, and be concerned, if you will, about this. And again, not concerned as a worry thing. We're not to worry about tomorrow. No, no, no. And there are people that do that. Sure. I'm not saying that they're not. But
right,
if you're, we're trying to say, okay, where a Christian's at, yes, you can be concerned and involved in the process of what's happening today in our country with elections, but you can also completely at the same time trust in the sovereignty of God, okay? Now, there are people, and probably a majority of our nation for sure, that is concerned about this. They're not going to be trusting the sovereignty of God. Mm-hmm. We're going to do whatever it takes, right? So I'm not trying to just pass all on them. But what I am saying as a Christian, you can be concerned and involved in the current situation and trust in the sovereignty of God. Because we see that in his logical, in all these other areas that we do in our own life. So,
mm-hmm.
But I think so really what we're going to do today is we're going to really set up, okay, look, no matter what happens today or the next day or any day for that matter, we as followers of Jesus are living in unique times. That's the best way to say it. You know, some people say unprecedented. Some people say, you know, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. It's unique times for sure. Yeah, it's unique. And we have an opportunity, really. And so we're going to really talk about what that looks like today. And I'm excited, really excited about that.
So I'm reading the Screwtape letters right now.
Great. Love it.
Yes. And so for those who don't know, Screwtape letters is a senior demon, Screwtape, who's coaching this more inexperienced demon on how to tempt his patient. It's a man, but they call him the patient. But one of the tips that Screwtape gives Wormwood, the younger, more inexperienced demon, is to get him to think about the future and to dwell on the future. And he says this. This is letter 15. He says, it's far better to make them live in the future. And he says, as opposed to living in the present.
Right.
Or to think about eternity, or to think about God, to think mm-hmm. about heaven. He says, it's far better to make them live in the future. Biological necessity makes all their passions point in that direction already. So the thought about the future inflames hope and fear. Also, it is unknown to them, so that in making them think about it, we make them think about unrealities. So essentially what C.S. Lewis is saying is that when we as humans are thinking and dwelling on the future, one of the reasons that gives Satan and the enemy a foothold in our lives is because we're thinking about things that are just untrue because they haven't happened yet. We don't know what the future is going to be like. So when we're dwelling on all these hypothetical situations, we're really running, sprinting away from thoughts about God and very quickly replacing them with thoughts about things that are quite honestly untrue. It will never be true. They could be true, but in reality, they probably won't be. And boy, it's easy to get fearful when you're thinking about things that could happen, rather than think about things that are happening right now and what we are to do in response to them as believers.
No, that's a really good point, and that's a really, really good point. And I think that, you know, summing it up too is like, when we look at today and we look at tomorrow, that we are so concerned about our future. I mean, Jesus talks about this. Do not worry about tomorrow. Our natural reaction when we're looking to the future, even in normal mundane things or things that have consequences or whatever, it typically ends us in worry. But the opportunity for us is when we look to the future, it's the opportunity for us to obey. And when we look to the future, one of the things that we hold on to as Jesus followers, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, is Christ's return. Like when we look to the
future, which is eternity.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's almost like, you know, we need to pack our bags and get the car ready for where we're going, right? And we're going to heaven. And that's really how believers should live their life. Live your life now as if you're in heaven tomorrow, right? Wow, what would that look like? I mean, and so I don't know, the last year with COVID, everything has just said, not that, oh, Jesus has to return tomorrow because America's falling. Like, that's not what we're saying, but what we are saying is that every believer in the New Testament and every New Testament writer overwhelmingly believed that Christ would come in their lifetime. That was an overwhelming belief. And that's how, and so what I'm saying is the view of this imminent return really led into how they live their life now. And I look over the last year and everything that's happened, and things have, for someone to say that their life hasn't been affected in any way by this last year was a lot. Like, I mean, whether it's you had to wear a mask, or you know what, you lost your job, or you know what, this happened. I mean, somebody was affected in some way in our country from this last year. And I think when things like that happen outside of our control, it doesn't mean, oh, it's the end of the world. But what it does show us is we're not really in control of these things. We're really not. And I think for me, what it did is it gave me a greater desire to see the return of Christ and for me to long for the return of Christ. Because as you look in Scripture, that's what they did in the New Testament. And for me, my whole life, I think about, I don't know if you know about Jonathan Edwards. You know, obviously you know about Jonathan Edwards, but he, did you know he wrote 70 resolutions when he was like, oh gosh, he may have been even 16. He wrote these resolutions. And one of the things he said, he wrote 70 of them. And I'm going to read one now. We'll read one later as we end. But he says, I'm resolved. You know, we know what the word resolved means. Like, I am committed. This is what I am. It's done. This is what I am focused on. I am resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory on my own good, profit, pleasure in the whole of my duration without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many myriads of ages hence, resolved to whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general, resolved to do this, whatever difficulties I meet with and how many and how great soever. And so what he's just saying is my goal in my life is to glorify God. And I will do that with every moment in every, whether I live in this age or I was in another age, I am to do that no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's to live for the glory of God and make every moment count. Wow.
You know what's fascinating about that? So he wrote that in the 1700s.
Yeah, yeah.
And our goal hasn't changed.
No. Mm-mm.
Paul's goal was our goal. Yeah, I think of Psalm 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And what does that have to do with Edwards and Paul and our goals being the same? Well, here's what that has to do with all this. What can man do to me? That means that there's nothing that man can do to keep us from being obedient to God today. And since our goal is all the same, there is no regime, there is no circumstance, there is no state, there's no country in which we can be in that could ever keep us from living obediently to God. That one of the wonderful things about Jesus' promise in Matthew chapter 16, on this rock I will build my church. On the confession of Christ, he will build his church. That's not, that doesn't come with any stipulations geographical area or time period.
Or you know, geopolitical structures.
Right. He's going to build his church wherever, no matter what, no matter who's in control.
Yep. Yep.
It's gonna grow.
Absolutely.
And so, what can man do to us? Nothing from an eternal perspective, and certainly nothing from a missiological perspective. And all that I mean by that is there's nothing that man can do to us today to keep us from being obedient to the Great Commission tomorrow.
Exactly. And this is so, well, one, we see that throughout history. The church grows under persecution. And, you know, I know some people are naysayers and say, hey, persecution's not coming or what. Let me say, persecution is coming, whether you're in this country or not. Just it's going to intense as we get closer. And here's the reality, too. You know, when you look at, and this is going to get political, I'm sorry, right? Whatever. Like, here's the right, when you look at the platform for the Democrat Party, it is built into it to persecute people. We've already seen that. When you say, as the platform of the Democrat Party is simply this, what is good is now seen as evil, and what is evil is now seen as good.
From a biblical
worldview. From a biblical worldview, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they wouldn't, that's not written in their documents. Yeah.
Right.
That's a biblical worldview response to what I'm saying. So example, there's the Equality Act that's supposed to come in. And if you look at that, and even in the next 100 days, they're going to vote on this. And if they control everything, that's going to pass. It's going to limit religious freedom like it's never, like never before in our country. We've seen, I say all that to say, oh, we should take up arms. That's not what we're saying. I say all that to say, oh, see, we can't follow Christ. No, the point is, no matter what happens, we can follow Christ. I don't need a stamp on my passport to give me the authority to go to a country that's closed to share the gospel. I got the authority from Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Just like you're saying, like, there's nothing, Christ is going to build his church, and there's nothing that's going to stop that. And we as believers must be resolved for every moment of the rest of our lives to do whatever it takes to get the gospel, to obey Christ to the ends of the earth, no matter what. And that's really what we're at today. Is the point is, okay, in America, in the end of the day, it will be sad if they take our religious freedom. Absolutely. That's okay. When my grandmother passed away, it was sad that she passed away. I mourned her death, right?
Even though you knew where she was.
Even though I knew where she was, yeah, I trusted sad. In the sovereignty of God. I knew he had it all, that he would hold her, that he would keep her, and that I would see her again because she was a faithful follower of Jesus. Like all of those things, I trust in the sovereignty of God, but it's still sad. So yes, it is sad if religious freedom goes away. Like totally sad. But let me tell you this, that doesn't mean God's church is dead. Maybe, just maybe, on the contrary, it may be the church lives. Like it hasn't in America for a very long time.
Though certain entities may die,
yeah,
the church will live.
Yeah, you want to think about, if you look at church history, and there was the reign of the Roman Catholic Church, and we're not going to get into church history now, but there was always a true church that exists in the midst of persecution, the midst of the Catholic dogma, all that, there's still a true church. And I guess what's unique, as we talked about this time, that we are going to experience some of that. That's just going to happen. So really, let's talk about, like, if Biden wins and we look at the Democrat Party platform, they don't, take away religious freedom, doesn't matter because it's hate speech, right? Abortion, It's okay. Do it. Whatever. So whatever you want to say, we look at their platform, and it looks like our it seems like our life is ending in some ways. I mean, that's a weird way to say it, but the point is, no. Like, God's still going to build his church. So what do we do if Biden wins? What do we do? What is our responsibility as a follower of Jesus if Biden wins?
Same thing it was yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Make disciples.
Yeah.
To declare the glory of God all over the earth so yeah. long as we are alive.
That's right.
And you know, we were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Again, without dwelling on hypothetical situations, because sure. tomorrow's not here yet.
Yeah, exactly.
But if Biden wins,
yeah,
and you know, let's just say that, you know, for the sake of the podcast, that yeah. that religious freedom is taken away.
Yeah,
we were talking about this. That it is almost as if there's a part of American Christians that must die, that gets to die, yeah. that didn't otherwise get to die before.
Yeah.
Because we had the freedoms and we love the freedoms.
Sure, absolutely.
We love those and we fight for those and we're grateful to God and grateful to the men and the women who served and gave their lives for our country and yeah. for those freedoms.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
if those are taken away, there's a part of us that gets to die because now we don't. There's not a safety net of religious freedom.
We have to walk in faith. We have to walk in
faith and freedom. So there's a part of us that gets to die.
Yeah, and you know, and what you're saying is so true. We talked about this yesterday. Is that part of us gets to die, and it's not one of those things where. Oh, well, we should have just died long ago. You know, someone could say, oh, we should have just died 5 years ago because you could have stopped trusting the political system. That's not what we're saying. Through God's sovereign,
right.
ordained work, he has allowed religious freedom in America.
Right.
You can't disagree with that.
Right.
And that is, hypothetically, if we're for the podcast, if Biden wins, it seems that that will come to an end. And you know what we're saying? That's okay. Because we are walking into a new area of our life where we are getting to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just just like this last year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But right. yeah, go ahead.
Well, the flip side is that if part of us is dying to the desire to trust in those things,
yeah.
the other part of us gets to live to Christ. And now we get to trust in God in perhaps a way that we have never before.
Yeah.
And you know, just as you're talking about it, it makes me think of food. I mean, people who are starving
yeah.
aren't necessarily, or they're trusting in the Lord for the food that they don't even have yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that that doesn't mean that we should get rid of our refrigerators and never go to the store, but because God has provided those things for us.
Yeah.
But if there does come a time when, and I'm not saying this is going to happen.
Yeah,
but just for the sake of the analogy, if there's a time where food is scarce, now we get to trust the Lord in perhaps a different way, yeah. in a way that we haven't before.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
that doesn't mean that we wish that upon ourselves.
Or that we didn't trust God before.
Right, right. Yeah. It just means it's a new season, and the yeah. Lord is allowing us to go through the season to grow us in holiness,
yeah.
to make us more like Christ, to make us more dependent on him.
And so here's the reality, as we're not dwelling on the future, but I guess we'll know today or some other, maybe tomorrow, whatever. But if Biden becomes president, let me tell you something. What our goal never changes. We have the incredible opportunity to proclaim hope to the hopeless. We have an incredible opportunity to go to places that have never heard the gospel. We have a credible opportunity to say, today is the day the Lord has made and I will obey him. And so really our life goal and mission is to obey Christ and make disciples like never before. That's what we're saying. Now, let's flip that. If Trump wins, my fear is that American Christians, though that those things may be religious freedom, those things may still exist for a short period of time or something like that, we have the danger as Christians, if he wins, just sit back and go, okay, we can just...
Four more years.
Yeah. Man, we don't have to put, you know, it was just... But what we're saying, no. Even if Trump wins, we have to push like we've never pushed before. We have to take advantage of this incredible opportunity to go where we've never gone, to share the gospel, to make every moment count because Jesus is returning. And you know what? We want everyone to hear the gospel and we want to take advantage of that freedom. So do you see that? Biden wins.
We push like we've never pushed before for the gospel.
If Trump wins.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Our goal doesn't change. Now, our approach may change.
Sure, absolutely.
And our strategies might change. Absolutely. How we're engaging people.
Absolutely.
But the end result does not change. What can man do to us? Ultimately nothing from a spiritual, eternal perspective. Our eternal goal does not change. To glorify the Lord, to love Him first, to love others through making disciples and sharing the gospel.
Yeah, and you're right. And this really, I thought about this the other day. This really comes down to faith. It comes down to faith. And what I mean is like, okay, 150 years ago, you didn't have a grocery store. You could just walk down and get food. We kind of talked about this for a second, right? You know what? If a frost came and killed your crop, you're thinking, okay, that's meals. There was an everyday faith, and I'm not saying saving faith, just general faith for the unbeliever and the believer, really.
A faith that worked out their salvation.
Yeah.
It made them more like Christ.
Exactly. Yeah. But there was a general faith of saying, like, that they weren't in control of things. Like, we just go to the grocery store and swipe our card. We don't think anything about it. But if your frost kills your crop, and that's what you're going to do to feed your family for the year, uh-oh. So what I'm saying... The conveniences of the current of our time has taken away daily faith in common grace. Does that make sense? The conveniences of our, I can just go down the store and swipe my card and I've got what I need, has taken away of, oh well, I gotta pray and make, and I need to pray and trust God that He'll take care of me this year and make sure the crop is enough for us to, does that make sense? There was a daily faith in God's, there was a daily faith in God's common grace for people that we have lost touch with because of the convenience of our time period. And that's not just in food, it's in everything, really, in a lot of different things. And so I say that to say is this, going back to what we're talking about. It's seasons, in and out of seasons. And either way it happens, we are entering a new season, either way. Biden president, Trump president. We're entering a new season where we as believers have a responsibility, nay, the calling to focus on Christ, to obey Him, and to share the gospel, make disciples like we've never done before. Why? Because He's returning. Not because America's falling. Not because so-and-so. He's returning because that's how believers in the New Testament live their lives. Two, we're seeing things in the world, if you will, set up that's showing us, you know, and you talk about the end times, people just get freaked out and they're like, this is so sci-fi, you know, you just don't know anything, just hold on, you know, whatever. But the reality is, just read the book. Look at Revelation, look at Daniel, look at Ezekiel. Like, when you read that, it does sound somewhat sci-fi. It sounds otherworldly, and you got to think about it. It's in many ways... for lack of a better way to say this, Joel's going to kill me. But in many ways, it's you know, we don't see the spiritual realm right now. We live in a physical world and we don't think about the spiritual realm. But it is obvious on display for everyone to see. The spiritual realm is obvious hitting the physical realm. Really. And it's so obvious. So it seems sci-fi to us, right? So I say all that to say is when we look out in the world, not only do we live and focus on the imminent return because we're commanded to, and we see the example of the followers before us, but also we're seeing things set up around the world that is showing us that the time is coming for really the Antichrist to come. And that may be in our lifetime. It may not be. Okay. But the point is we are ushering into a new time, whether Trump or Biden's president, where we get to live. Our faith is going to be made more alive because of that dying And maybe even in that common faith, in the daily grace. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, and I say all that to say is, you know, at the end of the day, I want to trust God in every decision that I make. And the convenience of our culture limits that sometimes. But our culture is changing. And so it looks like it could be that we're getting some of that opportunity back where it was 150 years ago. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But
yeah, there's a scholar who talks about Ruth, and Ruth happens in the context of the Judges period.
Yeah,
and the Judges is a very dark book.
Oh yeah,
politically, nationally, very, very dark book. And Ruth is a wonderful book. You read
it's
Ruth,
beautiful. It's amazing.
It's a breath of fresh air
when you're
in the context of this is happening during the Judges period. But there's a commentator who said this, that the darker the background, the brighter the diamond shines. Talking about Ruth, that when you understand the context of what was going on, it just makes Ruth like this incredible, wow, like what a gift God's grace is. And then that's why jewelers in jewelry stores, they have black backdrops to
display
to display their diamonds, because it makes the diamond look brighter. If and when America keeps getting darker, it just means that our faith gets to shine that much brighter.
That's right. And that's the key. That's the key. And so as we end like 20, we've ended 2020, we're going into 2021. Man, there is so much hope. And it doesn't look like that for a lot of people. But there is hope because we have Jesus. We have Jesus. And I'm just excited. Sad in some ways, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Excited in some ways to see what God's going to do. That God chose us for a time as this. Yeah, my wife said to me the other day, she goes, you know, it's easy to be sad and trust in the sovereignty of God about some of these things. But it's also interesting. It's also cool that I feel grateful. And I said, well, what do you mean about that? She's like, I feel grateful that God chose us for a time like this.
Hmm.
A time where our faith gets to shine brighter when the world around us it appears to be getting darker and darker. And so, but just what an awesome hope. And, you know, I want to read a passage of scripture really as we're kind of concluding this. And it really has been a passage of scripture for 2020, but maybe 2021 as well. And Romans chapter 12 comes, and it's a switch from theological to now Romans 12 and on practical. How do you live out this theological? How do you live out the theology? So, and he goes in verse 9, chapter 12 to 21, and he's really talking about the marks of a true Christian. This is what he says. And let's listen to the words. And there's so much here. You're like, how can I possibly do that? Spirit of God. Okay, remember, Holy Spirit. but there's just so much. He says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now here's the thing. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Or by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's Romans 12. 9 through 21. And here's the reality. No matter if Biden's president or Trump's president, we can do that. We've been called to do that. That is not too far from us. This is the opportunity, either way it goes, for us to live and obey God. In that verse 12:12, man, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. If we're going to get through 2021, it's really going to take those things. Rejoice in hope, be patient, tribulation, and constant in prayer. And like we said before, either way, we have an incredible opportunity. An opportunity to shine bright in the darkness that's around us. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in this time.
Thanks for listening to Live Sent Podcast.